Back here on the Jack Evans Show, right here on your local station, 590 WMBS, talking with Pittsburgh author Mike Lowenstein. He has released his second book, The 19th Year, A Sweet Summer with the Pittsburgh Pirates, talking about the Buccos of 71 and the Buccos of last year, 2011. And Mike, I wanted to ask you about that 1971 World Series. You had a chance to be there in person and see it. I mean, that included the first World Series night game as well. Just talk about the atmosphere, the magic, and how cool it was to be there in person for a World Series. It's something not a lot of people get to do.
Yeah, it was a great thrill. It was not only the first World Series that I had gone to because I was too young for the 1960 World Series, but it's actually the only World Series that I've gone to because I was away at school in 1979. You know, the Pirates had a great season, and they the playoffs were also very thrilling. I remember being with my sister down the right field line in the last playoff game against the Giants when Richie Hebner and Al Alder hit home runs, sort of passed us into the right field stands. And the feeling of knowing you were going to the World Series was really something. The World Series started in Baltimore, and Baltimore won the first two games, and in fact, they won the first two games by, you know, pretty convincingly, and they had these great pitchers, and as I said earlier, they had won 16 games in a row after that, and I remember there was a headline, you know, can the Orioles win in three? And the feeling was they were just a super dominant team, but they came back to Pittsburgh, and the Pirates, I think in the game three, Steve Blass pitched a very strong game, maybe gave up one run or maybe it was a shutout, I'm not sure. And then the fourth game was the first night game in World Series history, and I was sitting in left field with my family, and Clemente hit one down the right field line that everybody thought was a home run, and the umpire called it foul. And that revved him up, and he hit a line drive up the middle. The Pirates had been down. They came back to take the lead. The pitcher, I think, was Luke Walker, was knocked out in the first inning, and they brought in Bruce Kieson, who was at the time a baby-faced 21-year-old kid who was 6'4", and about 160 or 165 pounds. He came in and pitched over six innings in that game. He only gave up one hit, got the win, but he did drill three Orioles. I think he hit Frank Robinson in the ribs. So even though he was, you know, a skinny kid who looked like he was about 12 years old, he was a very tough competitor, and that inspired the Pirates. And then in Game 5, they came back with Nelson Briles, who was later an announcer, and he had been a great pitcher for the Cardinals and had been traded to the Pirates, and it tailed a little bit, but in that game he was just magnificent. He threw a two-hit shutout, as I recall, and the way he pitched, he would fall off the mound on every single pitch. I think that was the game that Bob Robertson missed a bunt sign and then hit a three-run homer. So the Pirates went back. You know, they had swept all three games in Pittsburgh, turned the series around, came very close to closing it out in the sixth game, which was an incredible baseball game that the Orioles won in 10 innings. And then in the seventh game, you know, obviously that's the game everybody remembers. Clemente hit a home run to take the lead. Stargell was doubled in by Jose Pagan in the eighth, and Steve Blass pitched just a masterpiece, and everybody remembers Steve Blass running into and jumping into Bob Robertson's arm. And so that was my memory of the 1971 World Series.
Fantastic, and it's just so great hearing about that and reliving the 71 World Series, and specifically Roberto Clemente was the star, not just of the World Series, but of the playoffs as well. And what was it like to watch Roberto play? And as a younger Pirates fan, I never had that opportunity, and we've always revered Roberto, and his name is just, it's like a legendary name in the city of Pittsburgh, and a lot of people you see at PNC Park nowadays have Clemente jerseys. That's how much of an impact he had on the city of Pittsburgh and this baseball team. But what was it like to be there first person and watch Roberto cement himself as one of the greatest players in baseball?
In my view, Roberto Clemente was an artist. He was more than just a ball player. He had such a flair about him. I think I'm paraphrasing what I said in the book. Anything that anybody could do on a baseball field, you know, Roberto Clemente could do. And then in that World Series, he did all of them in seven games. It was just an incredible thing. But it was, you know, something we had been watching for years and years. The other thing about Roberto Clemente, two things. One, he carried himself with such a, you know, sort of unusual and special dignity about him. he wasn't like most ball players. I think Andrew McCutchen actually has some of that too, and it's one of the attractive things about him. And the second thing I would mention about Clemente is he was just an incredibly conditioned athlete for his age. I remember reading at the time that you know, they'd have a big clubhouse spread and all the young players would, you know, dive in and gorge on fried chicken and hamburgers and hot dogs and beer and everything else, and, you know, Roberto Clemente would have a stick of gum. I think if he had not died tragically, I think he could have played for several more years, even though he was 38 years old. You know, at 37, he hit .341.
Yeah, it's unbelievable to think of what Roberto could have done if he had continued to live. And certainly, I think the way he was playing, he definitely could have gone on for a few more years. And
I should add one point.
Yeah.
For anybody who saw Clemente would know this. Watching him play right field, watching the basket catch, watching him, you know, go after balls, and more than anything, I mean, as far as I was concerned, he had the greatest arm of anybody I've ever seen, and it was just electrifying. And if you get a chance to get a tape of the 1971 World Series, you'll see a couple throws there that are as good or better than any throw you've ever seen.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, Roberto, he had a way in right field that a lot of current players really could not replicate or even come close to. The way he was able to fire it over to third base is almost like a speeding bullet. You never know it could get there that quick. I do want to fast forward, though, to 1992, and you actually start the book by talking about that last game, Game 7, Pirates-Braves in the 1992 NLCS, and you talked about your kids and your oldest daughter Lauren. You said she stayed up to watch the end of that game with you guys as Sid Bream slid in safely in Game 7. And did you have any idea when that happened that 19 years of losing would follow after that? It's hard to imagine that a such a long streak of losing records could follow after three incredible years for that Pirates team in the early 90s.
No, I had no idea. I mean, at the time, Lauren was 8, and our younger children were 6 and 4. They're 28, 26, and 24, and they've never seen another winning season. I mean, they missed their whole childhood. That night, Lauren, you know, being the oldest, was the one who was able to stay up. And when Bream crossed the plate, she just literally burst into tears. She still remembers it very well. And I remember Jim Leland coming on after the game. You know, they always interview the losing manager. It's really painful, and this one was particularly painful. And I remember saying, as Lauren was watching, in essence, and this isn't his exact words, but the basis of what he said is, this is a lesson for all you kids out there. You don't always win. And I thought that was a proud moment for him to handle himself so well in an incredibly difficult situation.
I would agree, and Jim Leland's always been the consummate professional, still keeps a home here in the Pittsburgh area, and he's always been one to heap praise on the Pirates when he came here with the Detroit Tigers about a month ago. He was very very supportive, and I think of all the people in baseball, he's probably one of the most that really wants to see this team do well and succeed once again.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent manager. I was, you know, a little critical of him in the book because I thought he left Pittsburgh at a really dark hour, but I understand, you know, he had been through a lot and it was very hard for him. I think he's a great manager, and I also think we have a great manager now. I think that's a huge part of what's going on.
I would absolutely agree, and I want to talk about last year, the 2011 season. It really started when Neil Huntington decided to bring in Clint Hurdle, a manager who had been to a World Series with the Colorado Rockies, and really changed the culture and really had this team believing in themselves. And there's been, you talked about it in the book, there's been so many managers between Jim Leland and Clint Hurdle that just really, it just didn't really have the effect that you would have hoped for a manager. But all of a sudden, Clint Hurdle comes in. He takes a 105-loss team from the year before, and all of a sudden has them believing. And having seen the managers between Jim Leland and Clint Hurdle, he had an effect on those guys that none of those previously could have had.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, I've been on with others who have said, you know, I don't usually think that a manager makes too much difference on a baseball team, but this is an exception. You know, in fairness to some of the other managers, they weren't always dealt a very good hand. But he wasn't dealt that great a hand when he came in as well, and he just immediately changed the attitude. I think they play really hard. They don't always play as smart as they could. They don't run the bases as well as they could. But they play really hard. They're really together. They don't give up. And I think the personality of the manager is reflected on the team.
I would absolutely agree with that. And you talk about the scrappiness of this team, especially last year. You saw them win games 1-0, 2-1, a lot of games like that. They didn't have the offense. You know, Andrew McCutchen had his high points. He had his low points. Pedro Alvarez really struggled a year ago. It might be hard for Pirates fans to think about it now because he has 21 home runs this year. But last year at this time, you know, he was on the disabled list. He was struggling. He really couldn't get his game going. And you had a lot of guys step up out of places that you wouldn't have expected. You had starting pitchers step up that you never thought would have been able to come and recover and have the type of season they did last year. You had guys come up from AAA. You had other guys that really hadn't had the impact before make an impact. And I think it all started last year, Mike, with that starting pitching and guys like Kevin Correa, you know, kind of a wanderer, middle-of-the-road guy, you know, have an all-star season a year ago, especially during the first half. Guys like Charlie Morton, who were absolutely awful in 2010, come down in 2011 and pitch like he's a brand new guy, like he's all of a sudden been able to recover. And I think it's really fantastic to see, even though the pitching staff fell off there at the end of July and for the rest of the season, those first 4 months for that pitching staff, unbelievable, especially with the way the offense was playing. You were expecting maybe one or two runs of run support a night. That pitching staff kept them in games, game in and game out, which was why they were able to be so successful up until the end of July.
I agree with what you're saying. I would especially add Jeff Karstens
yes.
to the list. I thought he was just magnificent for, you know, the middle third or a little more of last season. I thought he was almost dominant for a guy who doesn't throw hard. And I'm happy to say that I'm seeing that again. I think he's a tremendous pitcher. And the fact that he's coming back to this team now healthy and without as much innings and miles on him, you know, to be relatively fresh going into the second half of the season, I think it's a real cause for optimism. I agree with what you said about Charlie Morton. It would be great to have him back. I thought he, you know, really grew up a lot last year and helped him a great deal. And Correa as well. I mean, I think Correa, I'm not an expert on these things, but I don't think he has the greatest stuff. I think he's an incredible competitor and you know, gives you everything he has every single time out, including this afternoon for a really big win. And, you know, he's a good guy to have on the team.
And a lot of the similarities from last year at this time are being seen again this year. And I know when you talked about in the book a lot of the games you went to, there were crowds there of, you know, 1,100 to 2,000 people that would be at these games. And then all of a sudden last year, you know, you get into June and July, and all of a sudden this team is competing for a division title, and the crowd just ballooned. I mean, it had to be just an amazing thing to be there on nights when there's 2,000 people there and then to see the place sold out.
Yeah, it was really an interesting experience. Last April, it rained constantly. We were rained out several games. There were several rain delays. And in April, when it rains, it's pretty cold. And, you know, many nights just sort of down there shivering. And for my first month, I went to 7 games, and the Pirates lost six of them and probably lost most of them pretty badly. And I'm sort of scratching my head and saying, well, what am I getting myself into here? And then they started to get warm, and then they really caught fire. And it was just, you know, electrifying to see this town excited as it hasn't been, and to go instead of going in front of 1,100 people to go in front of 35,000 people and just see everybody excited. It didn't last to the end, but I think it gave people the feeling of what it's like to have a really good baseball team. And I think this summer it's going to be more real. I think it's going to last longer. And I think it's just going to be electrifying to see the crowds in the next couple months.
I'm very, very, very excited about it. Was there a specific moment maybe last year, whether it be a play or a specific moment last year that kind of stuck out to you from that 2011 season, having been to as many games as you did get a chance to go to?
I would say that there's probably two moments. They both involve Michael McHenry. Wasn't at either game, and both were the best moments, and one was also probably the worst. I was home the night and you know, watching them, you know, struggle against the Cubs and look like they were dead, and then Josh Harrison came up and tied the game, and McHenry hit a huge home run, and I should add, and I thought Greg Brown did just an absolutely tremendous home run call. And then you looked over and there were a bunch of teenagers in the stands, and they had signs up, and the first sign said, "We have been waiting for this our whole lives." And the second sign said, "Literally, our whole lives." And so that was great to watch. And then the second one, I was on vacation in a little bed and breakfast in Swampscott, Massachusetts, and it was not on TV, and they were playing the Braves right around this time last year, and I was following on my BlackBerry, and then when it was, I didn't have the charger, and it was dying, and I didn't have anything for the computer, and so the BlackBerry's dying, and the computer's dying, and the Pirates are playing the Braves, and it's the 15th, and the 16th, and the 17th, and so I go to move my computer into the bathroom, this tiny little place, and my wife rolls over, it's 1:30 in the morning, and she looks at me and says, "This is starting to get out of hand." And I said, "That may be, but I just got emails from both of your daughters." And I had heard from one in Chicago and one in College Station, Texas, and I felt, you know, we were in all spread out around the country, but we were all together watching this. And then, of course, you know, the umpire blew the call, and the Pirates lost the game, and the season fell apart. So it was the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah, definitely the best and the worst right there. And you talked in the book about going to a lot of the games with your family, with your wife, and with your kids. What did that mean to you to be able to share in that experience last year with your family? I'm sure it had to be such a great thing for you.
Yeah, it really was. That's, you know, as I don't know, everybody's different, but that's what our family does. We go to games. My first book was on Pitt basketball. That's what our sort of kids were raised on, is going to Pitt basketball games, in the NCAA tournament and the Big East tournament. And you know, we had always gone to Pirate games when they were little. We all, you know, we're part of a group, and we would go, you know, 5-10 times a year. But, you know, it got harder and harder, and they got older and older, and eventually moved away. But last year we were able to go, you know, whenever they were in town, we were able to go and go as a family. I also went to several games last year and also this year with my dad, which, you know, he's 87 years old and had overcome a major, major heart issue 7 years ago next week. And so we had to make a lot of special arrangements to get him to the seats because he can't walk up and down the steps. But he's otherwise in good health. He loves the games. He, you know, we share, you know, going to baseball games for almost 50 years now. And that was a really important part of the summer, and games with my mom and my in-laws as well.
When we come back here on the Jack Evans Show, we're going to talk to Mike about last year's team as compared to this year's team, what his expectations are for the 2012 Buckos. You're listening to your local station, 590 WMBS. Back here on the Jack Evans Show, Mike Sackley filling in for the vacationing Jack Evans right here on your local station, 590 WMBS, on the phone with Mike Lowenstein, the author of The 19th Year, A Sweet Summer with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Been great talking with Mike here through the 6 o'clock hour. And Mike, I just wanted to ask you, you had a chance to see the team last year, and I heard you re-upped for the 40 games for this year as well, which has been very exciting to have seen the team and the way they progressed this year. Was there anything specifically that you think that this team has that will prevent a late season collapse like we saw from the 2011 Bucks?
Yeah, I think they're deeper. I think their pitching is better and just got better with Wandy Rodriguez. I think the bullpen is strong. And I think the core group of young players is a year older and more experienced. They've been through it once. And they're getting they're getting a lot more from Pedro Alvarez, as we talked earlier, than they got last year. They're getting an incredible season from Andrew McCutchen, as we talked. Obviously, when somebody's hitting 370, you wonder if it can continue for two more months. Other players have picked up. Last year I felt like it was terrific, but every time they lost a game, I was afraid they would lose 10, and eventually they did lose 10 in a row. I don't have that feeling with this team. I think today was a good example. I went to the games the last two nights, and, you know, they had rough nights. They ran into a couple of good pitchers, and even worse, they ran into a fastballer followed by a slow baller, which is hard to do. And today they were facing the ace of the Cubs staff, and they found a way to win. And I think that's, you know, last year they might have, you know, started teetering into a losing streak. I just think it's a different feel. It feels like it's going to last.
I absolutely agree, and I think there's a lot of factors. We were just talking on the air, they just called up Starling Marte today, which a lot of Pirates fans have been yearning for, and there's a lot of things on this team, I think, that prove different from last year that might have them stick around. I think the offense coming out certainly is one of them, and it will come down to starting pitching if those pitchers can find a way to keep in it as the season goes along. But I think you would agree with me, Mike, that there's a lot of people that would get very excited if there's worthwhile baseball and baseball that matters here in the city of Pittsburgh into through August and September. And unfortunately, we're out of time. It's been great talking with you. But just before we go, let people know where they can buy the book and maybe talk one last time about the book and where the people can get it.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's available at the19thyear.com, our website, or at Word Association Publishers. It's also available on Amazon, and I think it'll soon be available at Barnes & Noble, but they have some process that you have to go through and some other local bookstores, but that's the main places.
Sounds great, and thank you so much, Mike. It would be great to talk with you again and maybe catch up with you once these Pittsburgh Pirates hopefully can keep up the good work throughout the 2012 season. Thanks for writing this book, and thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you, Mike. Happy to do it, and I would love to come back. Thanks.